Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I tell you what, I remember one time when Tracy was teaching, and I forget exactly how she put it, but she said, I'm scared.
That's
what
I said.
Yeah. And so I know exactly how you feel.
Really?
Yeah, standing up here. Well, it's the reverence for the Lord.
Right.
You know, last week I talked about I gave the example of a wingman and the flight lead, and how the wingman always did what the flight lead did, and that whole process we call flight discipline. Discipline, discipleship. And so, in a way, that was an expression of discipleship, is maintaining flight discipline. And whenever I went out to lead a flight, say I was leading a flight of three F-117 stealth fighters, we're going to go to a target, we're going to hit an air refueling tanker before we get to the target. I knew what my target was, I knew the route to get there, but I had to be ready for anything that was going to happen en route, because nothing ever went exactly as planned. It may be that the tanker would show up late, we'd hit the tanker late, so my push time off of the tanker in order to make the time on target would be delayed, so now I have to make up time in order to get there in time. And so we, as the church, have to be ready for anything.
Right.
We have to be flexible. In fact, we had a saying in the Air Force, flexibility is the key to air power. And so today, this morning, I know where the Lord wants to go. I just don't know how he's going to get us there. And so I'm excited. I hope you're excited. And so we're going to see what's going to happen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you're here in our midst. I thank you that you dwell in us. I thank you that we have the anointing for you to teach us the truth. And we receive the truth. We open up our arms. We reach to you. We cling to you to receive the truth, that it may dwell in us in the fullest expression of who you are, so that we can be your body, the church. So, Father, be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, where have we been? We talked about God, the eternal God. He's the Word, that he created everything by the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. It's Jesus. Jesus reflects the glory of the Father. He's the very expression of his nature. And he holds everything together right now by his word of power. And then he prayed for us. And he said, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. So, church, we're sanctified this morning. We are set apart for the Father, for the head, Jesus, to express everything that he wants to do in the creation through his church. That's who we are. And because of that, the Father is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And then we found out that that we're called to be disciples. So when Jesus called Matthew out of the tax collector booth, when he called Simon and Andrew from their fishing nets, and he said, follow me, his full intent was for them to follow him and be his disciples. And remember, we went over the fact that we cannot be his disciple unless we love him above everything else, unless we give up everything to follow him, unless we take up the cross and follow him, we cannot be his disciple. mu dunamai enai mathetes. We cannot be his disciple unless we do those things. And we can't be his disciple unless we love one another, unless we abide in him and bear fruit, and unless we continue in his word. Because we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. So that's what it means to be a disciple. So we found out that we were to follow him, to learn of him, and to walk as Jesus walked. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. This is Walking in the Spirit, part one. Praise the Lord. Can everybody see this whiteboard? Or do I need to like move this back so everybody can see it? Will that catch my voice if I'm back here? Okay. Be sure I don't spill my intestinal fortitude. Okay. The first thing we're going to start out with is Galatians 5:16. Can somebody quote that for me? From memory. Don't look it up in your Bible. From memory.
Give us a hint.
What?
Give us a hint.
Give you a hint. But I say,
walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill
the flesh.
Okay. So Paul's writing to the church in Galatia and he's saying, but I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Hide that word in your heart. That's what we're supposed to be doing. All right, I need somebody to look up 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. And read it for us, but read real loud so this iPad can pick it up.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it.
Amen. May the God of peace sanctify you wholly. And then he talks about the body. I really did learn penmanship when I was young, but it's not working too good right now. Soul and spirit. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. In the spirit, and I'm not going to be able to fit it in there, so I'm just going to draw a line up here, is communion. Tracy taught this. Intuition and conscience. Now, we're not going to get to these today, but we will get to them. And so right now, what we need to understand is the relationship of the body, soul, and spirit, the fact that we are sanctified and we are to be sanctified wholly. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to read them in the New Living Translation. But follow along in your Bible, or your iPhone, or your iPad, or your whatever the Microsoft one was. Is. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, in verses 1 through 3. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. So, the description of that is that when we, before we knew Christ, before we heard Him knocking at the door, and we opened the door, and He came in to fellowship with us, we were existing in body and soul. Our spirit was dead. And we were serving, it says in the New Living Translation, we were serving the devil. He was in the world. So our body and soul, we were running around, and we are acting according to our sinful nature in the world, and we were not alive in the spirit. So I know when it was me, I know exactly what I was doing, and it wasn't pretty. And so that's where we were, body and soul. Now we are still body, soul, and spirit, right? I'm in the flesh. I'm a physician. I've been a physician for 30 years. And guess what I learned about?
Body.
The body. I learned about the physiology. I learned about the anatomy. I learned everything about the body, which is going to die. And what physicians do today, what do we try to do? We try to keep this body from dying. But we are consigned to death. And then we have a soul. This is our personality. That's what makes Tracy, Tracy, Bob, Bob, Jeannie, Jeannie, Lex, Lex, and so on. Our mind, our will, and emotions. And that's how we operated. We, for many, many years until we met Christ, we operated with our mind. Our emotions took us here and took us there, took us up here and took us down there. That's what our emotions did. And then our will, you know, we exercised our will whichever way we wanted to. We did what we wanted to before we met Christ. So then what happened? Titus 3:5. He, Jesus, saved us, not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So what happened when we met Jesus and we said, yes, You are the Son of God. You died for me. Your blood covered all of my sins. And I ask You, Jesus, to come into my life. Our spirit was regenerated. We were renewed in the Holy Spirit. Not only that, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So we're no longer in Adam. We are now in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So now what this, the relationship of these three things have suddenly changed. And this, our spirit has now become alive. Okay. So we get back to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to finish reading out verses 4 through 7. But God is, okay, so remember, Once you were dead because of your disobedience and you obeyed the devil, now it says, but God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Other versions may say, because we are in Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. So we are now in Christ Jesus through the richness of God's grace and his mercy, and we are made alive in the Spirit. I don't know about you, but that gives me goosebumps. That makes me tremble inside. That makes me want to shout hallelujah.
Amen.
Because we are now, who were once dead, are now alive. And not only that, before we found Christ, when our spirits were dead, we were serving the prince of the power of this world. We lived in this world. Where do we live now? Huh?
In Christ.
And it says, he seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Philippians 3:20 says, our commonwealth is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body.
Woo!
Amen?
Amen.
So, suddenly, we have been transported from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Our commonwealth is in heaven, and we await the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, there was another thought, and it just went... Oh, thank you, Father God, for giving me a memory. And in Colossians chapter 3, it says, this is verse 1, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, right? That's what we've been talking about. Since we have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Listen, church, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Okay? We're no longer tied to earthly things. We are now tied to heavenly things, and we should walk in heavenly things. For you died to this life, and that's what we're going to get to. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And this is one of my most favorite verses coming up. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. We're going to share in his glory. Right now, right this minute, Jesus Christ is our life. He is your life. Paul said it well in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And because he gave himself for us, And he commanded us to love one another even as he has loved us, that we would love one another. And we have love for the brethren, and it's the kind of love by which we will lay down our lives for the brethren. That kind of love. God is love. We heard last week. He's the Word. God is love. And he first loved us, and now we can love in return. That kind of unconditional love. Praise God. All right. However, there's a bit of a problem. The soul.
Still wants its way.
Still wants its way. Galatians chapter 5, we read verse 16, didn't we? So, I say, this is the Living Translation again, and it says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. In other words, walk by the Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. You're not under obligation. We have died to sin. We are alive to righteousness. So, the fact that our soul, who used to be in command, used to order everything, has now come into the Spirit, which, oh, by the way, who is joined with your Spirit?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Can you look that up, Bob? 1 Corinthians 6:17, I think that's right.
But he who has joined you to the Lord is one Spirit with him.
We are joined to him in one Spirit. So the Holy Spirit lives in us and is joined with our spirit. And that's where we're going to start talking about communion, intuition, and conscience and how we should walk, but not today. So, so the soul still wants to rear up and exert the will and wants to do sinful things. How Paul said it in Romans 6, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me? Thanks be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So, let's go to Hebrews 4:12. Now, we covered this, the first week when we were talking about the fact that God is the Word. And Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is living and active. Right? It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's what the Word does. So, we need to let the Word have its full effect. Remember in John 8:31, Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, then you are my disciples. So we need to continue in the Word and let the Word, which is truth, have its full effect to do exactly what it says, to pierce, to divide between the soul and the spirit, so that the soul no longer has any dominion, no it's not exerting its rights. The only thing that the soul will do is obey what the Spirit says. Amen? So, just like in the Old Testament, when you had the high priest, and they took the sacrifice, and they laid the sacrifice on the altar. That's a sacrifice on there. And the high priest took the knife and cut open the sacrifice and opened up the joints and the marrow and exposed the sacrifice. And then the sacrifice was offered and was burned. Well, what happened there in the Old Testament is that the high priest wielded the knife, and now, today, what happens is there is the altar today, the cross. So we're going to let the cross operate on our soul and our body. And the high priest, which is Christ, is going to wield the double-edged sword of the Word to pierce to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and it's going to discern the thoughts and intentions of our heart. And we need to let that have its full effect. What is our role in all of this? Is to be living sacrifices. We went over that in the previous lesson, Romans 12, 1. Tracy went over verses 1 and 2 when she was teaching. So important. So, therefore, brethren, we need to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. And then, what do we need to do? We need to be not conformed to this world like we used to be, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Why? That we may prove what is the will of God. In other words, we need to let what the Holy Spirit is telling us in the Spirit, we need to prove that. We need to act that out in our lives. We need to be walking in the light. We need to be walking in the truth. What is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? So our part is to be the sacrifice. Remember what I said the problem with living sacrifices is? Crawl off the altar. How many times have you done that? How many times have I done that? No, not today. Not me. I'm not going under the knife of your word. But we need to keep ourselves on the altar as living sacrifices to allow our good high priest to let the truth of the word change us into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You could liken this to the temple where the body would be the outer court, the soul would be the holy place, and the Spirit is the Holy of Holies. Now, before we knew Christ, there was a veil right here. And it prevented us from seeing the glory of the Lord. But when we accepted Christ, when Christ went to the cross, what happened to that veil? Where, how was it torn? From top to bottom. So when we accept Christ, that veil is ripped in two from top to bottom. He did it. From the top to the bottom, through his broken body, he allowed us entrance into the Holy of Holies. We can go to the throne of God anytime.
That's right.
With boldness, with confidence. But not only that, it also allows his Spirit to permeate our entire being. What did Bob start out reading about? Sanctify them wholly, that they may be blameless in body, soul, and spirit. And the Lord himself will accomplish this. So that's called walking in the Spirit. Now, what we need to do, and why Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple unless you take up your cross, like Bob does, take up your cross and walk, you cannot be my disciple. And so we need to let the cross crucify our flesh, bring our soul into obedience to the Spirit. All right. What is going to be the result of that? Remember last week we talked about the fact that we wanted to learn Christ. And we talked about Matthew 11:29. Can someone read Matthew 11:29, the whole verse? Real loud.
When he says you cannot be my disciple, it doesn't mean he disowns us, but we can't like him.
We cannot in and of ourselves say, well, I'm your disciple.
Yeah.
Right? Like a lot of, okay, church, there are a lot of people running around today who call themselves Christians, and they are acting here. They are not obedient in the Spirit. They're not letting the Spirit control their lives like we read in Galatians 5:16. Are they his disciples? Not really. So we might use that term loosely as, oh, I'm a loose follower of so-and-so. No, you're not a follower unless you do everything that person did, unless you subscribe to their teaching.
It's like you could say, today am I his disciple, and am I listening to him, or am I following tradition or philosophy?
Exactly.
Or Hollywood?
Exactly.
Daily make a choice.
That's right. And so we want it's progressive. We want to more and more and more become his disciple. We didn't, the day we were reborn, we weren't a perfect disciple right then, because we were still walking in the flesh. And we had to learn. We have to learn. I continue to have to learn. Even Paul says, I have not attained it, but I forget what lies behind and I press on to what lies ahead. That upward call of God in Christ Jesus, that's what we're after. We're after a continual sanctification.
Yeah, we're bought with a price. It's no longer us who live, but Christ that lives in us. See, well, if we're trying to do our own thing, well, then we've totally stepped out from being a disciple.
That's right. We were bought with a price. So now we need to glorify him in our body. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Back to Matthew 11. Who had that?
I agree.
Okay.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls. So all of this trouble that had been going on in your mind, will, and emotions because you weren't aligned with the Word of God, all of these mountains and valleys, that roller coaster kind of life, when we come and we walk in the Spirit, we find rest for our souls. Jeannie.
The Amplified says, Amplified says, relief, ease, refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quietness for your soul.
Woo!
You remember that old hymn? Years I spent in vanity and pride, knowing not the word was amplified.
Roman scripture says those your spirit, the Holy Spirit identifies your spirit that you're a children, child of God or children, but before it says those that are led by the Spirit are sons of God and have the full inheritance. So we start out as children. In children we operate so much in the soul and body, but as we mature in learning as discipleship then that spirit. And then there's no fear because we're led by the Spirit. In the soul we have fear back and forth, we're tossed around. And we got to realize that he put the glory that was in Jesus, Jesus put it in us. We are the glory of God now, not to come.
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
And if we don't realize it, we'll never want to accept the other because we don't feel worthy.
Amen.
And just two quick comments from an evangelist standpoint. So many people that I come across in the world, instead of just asking them if they're a Christian or asking them if they're saved, a lot of times, you know, I'll ask them, have you surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Because that kind of puts it more clearly, I think. And also, you know, Jesus said, go make disciples. He didn't say go make converts. So, you know, it's important to disciple.
Praise the Lord. Boy, you know, I call you church because you are church. We need to understand that. We are to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. He's with us. He teaches us. In John, 1 John chapter 2, it talks about the fact that he's the anointing. We have the anointing. He teaches us. What he teaches is the truth. It is not a lie. And so we need to walk in that, church. Okay, a couple more things, and then we're going to get on with the service. I'm just going to throw out a few other verses. Write these down and go look them up when you get home today. What else is the result of a soul who is subservient to the Spirit? Matthew 6:25. It doesn't worry about this life. It doesn't worry. The word for sometimes translated life is psuche. It means soul, from which we get the word psyche. And so it doesn't worry. It's not anxious. 1 Peter 4:19. The soul trusts. It's a trusting soul in the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 63:8 is a soul that clings to the Lord. Because, you know, it used to be that the soul wanted to be preeminent, but you know what? When Jesus said, you need to lose your life in order to gain it, what happens is when the soul learns that and dies, it actually gains life. And we find we are led to our destiny, for we are his workmanship. And we are the most content. We find rest for our soul. That's the way we need to walk. Luke 1:46. This is Mary's Magnificat. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Our soul will magnify the Lord when we, the soul, is subservient to the Spirit. And then lastly, as what I mentioned earlier, 1 John 3:16 is a soul that will lay down its life for the brethren because of agape, unconditional love. Okay, so it's application time. I do not want you to leave here having looked into the Word like a person looks in a mirror and then turns around and forgets what you look like. You need to take the word and let it have its full effect in your life. So.
What scripture is that?
Huh?
What scripture is that?
The one about being the mirror?
No.
No.
The one you just said.
First John 3.
So let the word have its full effect.
Oh, no, that's just less.
That's right.
No.
Workmanship.
Yeah. Oh, the workmanship is Ephesians 2:10.
Yeah.
Not the one you want.
Yeah.
Well, look it up and tell me what it
okay,
is.
I will.
Okay. Okay. Edify me, brother. Okay. So now we understand that Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is living and active. It's not black print or red print on paper. It's living and active, and it pierces to the division of soul and spirit. So let the word pierce and divide you at the soul and the spirit. Okay? You know that now. Ask the Lord to let him perform his high priestly duty on you, to discern the thoughts and intentions of your heart. Just like the psalmist said, search me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Let the word have its full effect. Search you so that you can turn your feet to obey the Lord. And then yield your will to his. Now, Jeannie wanted me to give a specific example like Tracy did with Dwayne. Now, I could use Jeannie as an example, but she's here. Dwayne wasn't here. So I don't have any specific examples, but I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, and he's bringing up a specific example in your life. Where is it that I need to let go of the world? 1 John 2:15 and 16. Do not love the world or anything that is in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father. It is of the world. Do not love the world. The world wants to capture your heart. So there's probably some place where you can crucify, you can take that cross and kill that part of that the world wants to capture you in, whatever it is, whether it's watching some reality show that you can't do without or whatever. I don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit knows. And let him take care of that and pierce to the division of soul and spirit. Okay. Pray. Continue in his word. Get on your knees. Fall on your face. Go to the throne. Jesus went ahead of us and opened the way to the throne. I was praying with some people one day, and they were praying for me, and the Lord just gave me a vision of the fact that I could come right into his throne room, right up into his lap, sit in his lap, and listen to him speak to me. And then last night, we were on our way home from a thing in San Antonio, and I was weeping as I was driving because the Lord just gave me this vision of a beautiful green lawn. Or it was more than that. It was like a garden, and I knew that there were some trees on the edge, but I couldn't see them because the only thing I could see at the end of the green thing was Jesus in all of his beauty, and he was pure white, and his arms were open like this, and he was beckoning me to come to him. And I ran to him, and he enclosed me in his arms, and he said, "You're doing okay. You know, I love you. We can stay here and we can just be buddies right here on this green place." It was watered. There was no imperfection in it. It was It was free. It was open. It was perfectly manicured and groomed. It was beautiful. That's where we need to be. That's how we need to walk. So, lastly, is bear your cross daily and live by the Spirit. And so it says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, right? We were regenerated and we were renewed in the Holy Spirit. Since we are now living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. That, church, is discipleship.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for the joy of speaking of your word. I thank you that you have given us the truth. You have given us what the world cannot give. And so we come to you on bended knee. No, Father, we fall on our face before you. And we worship you and we adore you. And we thank you that you rescued us. We thank you that you heal us. We thank you that you restore us. We thank you that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. We thank you that our enemy cannot come nigh us because you live in us and we abide in you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.